petition number 11046, reel 2.
Mr. John Clarkson, reel 2. We were talking about your time with the 4th Battalion, East Lancs, during your initial basic training while you were in billets at Southport.
Yes.
And you said that you had some old Boer War regulars.
Yes, that's right. Instructing them.
Were they very strict, the NCOs?
We used to say their war was born out of war. The only shot we born out of, we used to tell them that, you see. Oh, no. But
they didn't mind that then?
No.
What about the officers? Did you see much of the officers?
Yes, we had them taped out too. We used to say what we thought about them.
And,
there was a chap there, Thornber from Burnley, your captain. He was a grand chap with that chap. Jimmy Thornber from Thornber. He was really good, really. He was.
What made a good officer to you then?
Well, letting you out as much as ever you could, if you follow what I mean. Making it easier for you. Whereas on the old, they don't make it easy. The harder they can make it, and the harder they make it, sort of make you, you see, if they make the training harder. But,
So, now how long were you at Southport? You went there in February 16. When did you leave Southport?
I was sent to Saltburn.
Saltburn?
Codford.
And after how many months or weeks would you reckon that? How long were you at Southport?
I don't know. How many months? I don't know. I don't know.
It's a long time ago, don't worry about it. So you went to Codford?
70 years. I couldn't do that.
So you went off to Codford.
I went to Codford, yes. We did Codford at Codford.
Still with the 4th Battalion?
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
What was the situation at Codford? Were you in barracks or billets?
We were in big camps there,
tents?
Big camps there.
Were you in tents or barrack huts?
Huts. And we did a full training there, firing, everything we did there. And then we were ready for going to a proper battalion. We called it a proper battalion.
What about...
And we were sent to the 11th.
Hang on a minute, just a bit more about your training. So while you were at Codford, do you remember much about your rifle training?
About what?
When you were trained to shoot, the rifle training. Do you remember much about that?
I wasn't a bad shot at that.
What made you a good shot, do you think? What was it that...
Well, we took on the rifle range. And if you've seen a rifle range, the butts at front and the back. And the signal, they put the flag up, whatever you got, you see. A bull, I forget what they were, but different size, they were a bull. If you were a miss, they did something, I forgot, you see. But there were motions like that, till eventually we were ready for going to a proper battalion.
What about bayonet fighting? Did you do much bayonet fighting or training?
Oh, yes.
How did you practice that?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'd do that all right.
How did you practice it? How did you practice it? What did you do for your training?
Well, we had them strung. We had sacks strung up. Sacks strung up with straws for a start off. You run and you dug a sag, you see, and it were mainly how to run with a bayonet on top. You know, it can be very dangerous if you're not careful. And
what about bombing? Were you introduced to hand grenades?
Yes, Mills's bombs. Yes, we threw them as well.
Would you throw them from? How did? What sort of training did you get in them? Because they were quite new then.
Went practicing throwing dubs first, and then we got to live. I think we threw three live ones. We all threw three apiece live. We had to drop it into a trench further on. You see, there was nobody there, of course. And we were supposed to drop it in there, you see.
Were there any accidents?
Yes, there were odd ones, yes, yes.
You don't remember any details?
No, there were odd ones there.
What about training in trench digging or trench life?
Oh, yes,
did you
yes.
Have any
oh, yes, we had that too. Oh, yes,
what
we could
that?
Dig and fill sandbags too, put sandbags in front as well.
So you actually practiced digging trenches?
Oh, yes.
Did you get to do any exercises like going over the top
we overdid that.
Remember anything about it?
How to approach it, to get on top and then run, and if you could hear something, but not unless, and to thread through the wire to get out, and different from my man's like.
And you practiced all that at Codford?
Yes, yes.
What about gas? Any gas precautions?
Yes, we had gas masks too, but we hadn't these gas masks. We had, it was a lump of blanket with two goggles in, and we used to call it the pap in your mouth. You had the pap in the when you blew out. You sucked in, and when you blew out, you blew through this, you see. We had that on, and they had to be dipped in disinfectant. That was a stinking stuff with that. And wrung out, and then given to you. You carried in a case that's supposed to be waterproof, in this case. Pull it out and put it on. Oh, nasty stuff with that. Nasty stuff.
Did you have to go through a gas chamber while you were there?
We went through gas chambers. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
Oh, yes, we went through gas chambers. Yes, yes. We pretty well touched everything, yes.
Did you do any special training yourself? I mean, in machine gun or signalling or anything? No, like
I don't know, no.
What I did, SOS,
yes, I did. Scouting, observing and sniping. That's right, SOS. I wore a green badge. I was given two stripes.
And you did that at Codford? At Codford, you practiced.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
What was that then, SOS? Could you tell us about the training for it? I've not heard of that before.
Oh, yes. I was sent to another school then to be trained for this. Oh, yes.
And where was that school?
Where what?
Where was this special training school?
It was not far from Codford, just the outside of Codford. Only a small place. And we were on map reading, how to map read, and all different things, and things like out the ordinary. And we used to rail and be able to direct and instruct anybody to go wherever they wanted to go. And we'd trace it on the map and say, you'll do such a thing, and you'll go so and turn and do and follow the
bearings. It's all right, I know what you mean. So, and what about the sniping? You say you practice sniping.
Yes. I practiced. Oh yes, I was good. That's where my shooting come in. You see.
And how did they practice that?
When we were in the trenches, we would instruct us to go out and make a place out there and watch him.
Hang on.
And pick him off when you saw him coming.
I'll be coming to that in the lab. But did you practice that outside at this school outside Codford? I mean, did they actually train you in it?
Outside? Oh yes, I practiced this. Yes, yes.
And they told you how to build.
And then we went to a village. We were outside a village, and they do it here outside. Whereas they miss a brick out in the wall, and we used to go upstairs and look through these and watch him. You could see him in the distance, and get ready, and pick him off, pick him off, pick
I'll
him off.
I'll come to your sniping in the line.
And in the dark, yes.
That's in the line.
Yes, yes.
So when did you actually, you were training at Codford, you did your advanced training, then you did this SOS training.
Yes, yes.
And you were made a corporal, were you?
Yes, I was a corporal, yes, yes.
And when did you actually go out, did you go out to France from Codford?
No, no, hey, no, right, where did I go from France? Hey, I'm bloody if I know where I...
Was there another training camp you went to after Codford, or did you go straight... Because you said you went to the 11th.
I went to Accrington Battles, the 11th, yes.
And when did you join...
I'm trying to think, where did I go from, to France from? First time, I went twice to France.
Do you remember what month it was when you first went out to France? Do you remember what month it was when you went out? Or roughly what time of the year?
No. But I'd got to...
Was it before Christmas 16 or after Christmas 16?
Wait a minute. On the 7th of June 1917, there was the Messines Ridge. On the Messines Ridge, that's right. On the 7th. I'll go in now, that's better. And we were.
Was that when you were sent out?
I've been out a few months in 1917 up to this June 7th. So I've been out a few months in with the 11th Battalion, and
so you'd gone out in early 1917.
Yes, January early 17. That's right.
So when you went out, do you remember anything about the crossing?
Yes, I remember. I'm in that crossing. Yes, I remember the crossing. Yes, I remember the crossing. Nothing outstanding, just an ordinary thing. Yes.
And then what happened?
We were sent to the 19th Division, a butterfly division. I said, why butterfly? Well, he says, it's always flitting about. It never stops anywhere at once. And we were sent on different fronts because it was a butterfly division.
And where were the 11th when you joined them?
The 11th. It's getting hard now. Where were the 11th? You mean what part in France?
Yes.
You mean what front? Well, we were facing up to, as I come back to the. Come back to the men in.
Messines
Ridge. He was on a big high ridge and he looked down. He looked down on us and he, whatever went on, he could do it. He could watch whatever we were doing. If the Russian party were coming on, he'd blow it out. Whatever was going on, he'd blow it out. So the authorities said, well, we can't walk up the hill to him. What we'll have to do, we'll have to tunnel underneath him. They tunneled underneath him. They put order out. Does anybody know anything about mining? Or has he has he experienced any mining? So they got a few results. A few lads volunteered and they went to be a colliers underneath, and they dug underneath him in the Messines Ridge. It took about a month or so. However, they took it underneath and then it was ready. And on the 7th of June, they'd packed that with the explosives, and we went up. We were about, I would say, a quarter of a mile, about a quarter of a mile away, and were waiting for it to go up, and then we were going to go then, because we're going to be in the middle of it if we weren't careful. So on the 7th of June at 3:30 in the morning, a scorching hot day it was, 3:30 in the morning, this went up. We're in the trench, and it just went like this,
rocking from side to side,
blowing up just like that. Terrific. So
was there a bit, could you hear the noise?
Oh,
like?
Terrific. Yes, that was, yes, you couldn't, oh, yes. But they're going down. You're drilling, you're going into hell. It says we're going to hell. No, we're not. Here we are. What a mess. Well, it eventually stopped. So, after there was a certain period, I don't know how long it was, well, it settled, and then we're off. Over, so over we go, and we go. Oh, in this broken territory, oh, in this broken territory. What a mess, what a mess.
What do you remember about it? And did you remember it in any detail?
Yes, I remember it well.
Could you tell us about it then?
I'm walking along with my bayonet, full marching order, and a box of bombs. An extra bandolier of bombs around your chest, and we're walking on, and in the distance, we never thought we'd see anywhere. In the distance, as it's slowly, cordite was stinking. In the distance, we could see one fella. He must have been a German, and we shouted of him to come back. Whether he heard us or not, he wouldn't do. Come back, be a prisoner. But he wouldn't. He kept on running. So we could see we couldn't overtake him. So what we did, well, what I did, I stopped. And I had a one in the breech ready. And I took aim. And I stood still for a minute. And I let him have it. Oh, I hit him lovely. He dropped just like that. Just. Well, I'm looking with my rifle like that, and when there's a shell burst, oh, very, very close, and all at once I get it here.
The left shoulder.
I didn't know where. So, oh, I says, I'm it. And nobody heard me. They went on and they left me. Well, I dropped my rifle, threw it down. Oh, and I staggered. But where am I it? I didn't know. So, I thought, well, I'll unlid my belt and took my applets off and got out and left me stuff there. And I slid down this hole that had been met with these shells, slid down, and I was laying at about 45 degrees then. Well, I was gradually going worse. I couldn't breathe. I'm sorry. I couldn't breathe. So I thought, now then, what am I going to do? I thought, well, but where am I, it? I didn't know. Where am I at? So, after a long time, I'm bed there, and it was scorching. Oh, my tongue went out. Just then, two stretcher bearers come along. So they said, "Hello." So they said, "Well, we haven't to take nobody back as it's too far gone. We've to leave them, we've to carry on them as it's more able." So I says, I'm all right. I couldn't talk. I had to tell them best ways I could. I'm all right. The ever meeting. Well, he says, all right, we'll take you back then. So, fortunate. So they took me back. They put me on the Ginny Road, little Ginny Road they had, and they put stretcher on and let it go back. And they carried on again. So they took me then to a clearing station, CCS, Canadian Clearing Station. This clearing station, so they, of course they looked at you like a first aid dressing place, that's all. So they looked at you and they said, yeah, no, we can't do nothing with him. You'd have to go back, take him back anywhere, Rouen, either Rouen or Etaps, take him back. So I was bundled back, and then I gets to this hospital, a proper hospital then, and they to find out where I'd been hit. Well, blood, it sounds a bit bloody, but blood had seeped straight down to my shoes, in my shoes, blood everywhere. I hadn't a drop of blood. I don't think I had a drop of blood. To cut it off, cut everything off, shoes, everything off, strip me naked. What a mess. And to crown all, I'd done my business in my pants as well. What a mess. Just, dear. Terrific. So they said, well, let's do the best we can. Find out where. Well, they looked. Oh, they says, you've been hit with your shoulder, your shoulder blade. It turned, your bones turned it down. It's gone through your lung and it's come out at your back. And I said, it doesn't come out because I can feel something there. Well, nobody says, well, let a look, we'll turn you over. And true enough, they turned me over and the bottom of my back, just a black dot. Just a black dot. Well, he just nicked that and he put one of those enamel kidney things in as they compress to you, and he pulled it out and it dropped out and it tinkled. Terrific. Well, let there, dear. I've never told this tale. He lit there. He says, oh, I'll have to operate. Well, they operate. I were better, but no, it won't right. No, it won't do. My lung kept filling up with black blood. Where they were coming from, I don't know. Just like treacle, nasty stuff. So they said, well, the only thing is we'll have to put an aperture for your back to drain it off, your bottom of your lung, to drain it that off. As you're making it, you're draining it off. Well, they'd have another operation then. Your back, your ribs at the back, cut a rib and fit a tube into your lung. Mind you, this is 1918, you see. There was no blood confusions then. Fusion, you know, there wasn't any, no, none of that now. You had to make your own blood. So he put this into my tube, and every morning it had to be took out and washed out, and if they thought it were dreading, cut a little bit off, put it back again. So they said, now that's the only thing we can do now for you, we can't do no more. So they said, well, you know, good here, you're in the way here now, we had to send you back. So of course I got back to England. Well, I was sent to Bury St Edmunds. That's right. Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk, I think. I've never been to that place. I've never been yet to it. However, there's an ordinary hospital. It was just a general hospital. And they sent for my mother and sister to come down to me. So they come down and I'm however, they stopped for about a week and eventually they went back. So I was improving a little bit. And I got up then knocking about, but I couldn't bear it. I'd have this still in my back. So you had to be very careful. I couldn't pretend to lie on my left side. I'd always on the right. So it got better and better, and they said, now, from here, we can send you to another place now where you can be more convalescent. So I said, that's all right. So I got sent to Newmarket. Tate and Niles had a racing break at Newmarket. Tate and Niles, and they had a separate place that they used to go when they were racing on. They had parties there when they were racing. Of course, the war stopped all that, so it was turned into hospital. Well, I was at Severill's house. I was at Severill's for 5 or 6 months. And had another operation there. It wasn't draining as it should be. So I had to have another operation then. What they did, I don't know what they did then. But anyhow, I felt better after it. So when I'm 16, 17 and 18, of course, you're not developed properly. And I was doing extraordinarily well, you see. So they kept saying, you're getting over it this very well, aren't you? And I says, aye, of course. I says, I am. Have I done that? I'm sorry.
It's all right. Carry on.
I said, I'm getting better now. I says, I'll soon be shut of this lot now. So they nipped and nipped and kept cutting a little bit off. And then I got as I could do without it, and they let it heal up. So they said, now you'll have to be very careful now until your flesh will grow into that and fill it up, and you'll not know you've had it done. But I used to show my wife, I says, look. However, I've still got this here on here. I've shown you, if I didn't have collar on, I'd have shown you. And it splintered the collarbone and went and turned it down. Well, he had to pick lumps off this collarbone. It shattered, it's part of the bone, it shattered. He had to pick bits off. Anyway, it got done. So now it's very good. And the only thing now, if I get a cold, it flies there, you see.
So you only went out to the front the once then, and then you were wounded?
I was wounded, yes. I was about 4 months, I was, yes. And then I was wounded. Well, from there, from there, I left Severill's house, and they said, no, you're fit now, you're getting fit now, but you'll never do no more soldiering. No, I said, no. Oh, no. And they said, no, you'll never do no more. So they says, go on a fortnight's leave now, your hospital leave, and then report to, what did I say, that in Colwyn Bay, Redcar. Go to Redcar in Yorkshire, and report there, and they'll see what they can do with you. So of course I had a fortnight at home just before Christmas in 1917, and I was back in Redcar.
So you'd been in hospital about 6 months?
6 months I did, about 4 years.